Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Indian Oil Corporation Limited Q1 FY26 results conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zico, and a very good morning to everyone. I'd like to welcome all the participants to this 1Q FY26 Indian Oil conference call. We have with us the management represented by Mr. Anuj Jain, Director of Finance, Mr. Nitin Kumar, CGM Corporate Finance and Treasury, Mr. Pramod Jain, CGM Treasury, Mr. Prabhat Himatsingka, CGM Finance and Treasury. I will hand over the call to Mr. Anuj Jain for his opening remarks, and then we can move to Q&A. Sir, floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you. Dear investors and analysts, a very good morning to all of you. I take this opportunity to welcome all of you to the conference call organized by us post-announcement of the first quarter result of financial year 25-26. I thank each one of you for joining the call. I trust you have had an opportunity to review the accounts we have posted on our website and the updates that have been shared with most of you. In today's call, we would like to walk you through our performance for the quarter gone, providing some insights on the broader macroeconomic context and also share with you the strategic initiatives we are pursuing to strengthen our position as India's largest oil and refining and marketing company. Friends, let me start with our quarterly performance. This quarter, we have registered a profit after tax of Rs. 5689 crore, which was Rs. 7265 crore in the preceding quarter and Rs. 2643 crore in the corresponding quarter of financial year 25. The decline from the last quarter was primarily on account of inventory losses, which we are going to discuss further. Revenue from operation during this quarter stood at Rs. 218,608 crores. This marks an increase from Rs. 217,725 crore in Q4 of financial year 24-25 and from Rs. 215,989 crore in the corresponding quarter of financial year 24-25. On August 2025, the Union Cabinet has approved compensation amounting to Rs. 30,000 crore to the three public sector oil marketing companies, Indian Oil, BPC and HPC, for the under-recoveries incurred on sale of domestic LPG. We are yet to receive an official communication in this regard for further details and accounting, and note on the same was given in the financial results also. I am pleased to share our operational performance this quarter has been robust, surpassing several key benchmarks of previous quarters. Our sales for the quarter were highest ever, and many other operational achievements were made. This is a testament to the strength of our operating model, the agility of our teams, and the efficiency of our extensive distribution network. Friends, now the operational and financial highlights will be reviewed by my colleague, Mr. Nitin Kumar, CGM, Corporate Finance and Treasury. Over to you, Nitin.
Thank you, sir. Good morning to you all. Kindly note that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements which are based on currently available information, assumptions and expectations and are subject to uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance or achievements to differ materially from those expressed or implied. Participants are advised to refer to company's latest filings with regulatory authorities for a more detailed discussion on the risk and uncertainty. The past quarter has witnessed important developments both globally and domestically. On the interest rate front, the U.S. Federal Reserve has maintained the federal fund rate in the range of 4.25 to 4.5% through July 2025, reflecting the Fed's cautious approach amid persistent uncertainty in inflation and growth outlook. In India, the Reserve Bank of India reduced the benchmark repo rate to 5.5% in May 2025, representing a cumulative cut of 100 basis points over the last 6 months. On the growth front, reaffirming India's position as the world's fastest growing major economy, IMF has revised its forecast for India's economic growth to 6.4% for both 2025 and 2026. RBI has maintained its estimate of 6.5% for financial year 25-26. S&P Global Ratings has upgraded India's sovereign rating to BBB, underscoring the nation's strong fundamentals and resilient growth. This strengthens investors' confidence and support and supports better financing conditions for Indian corporates, including our own growth plans. For our sector, demand dynamics remain strong. As per PPAC data, India's domestic consumption of petroleum products reached 61.65 million metric tons in the last quarter of financial year 25-26 versus 60.5 MMT in the preceding quarter, marking a growth of 2%. This uptick was led by a sharp rise in diesel and gasoline consumption. For the current financial year, PPAC forecasts 4.65% growth in domestic consumption of petroleum products. This continued expansion reinforces India's role as a key driver of global oil demand in 2025. As the country's largest oil refiner and marketer, we remain steadfast in our mission to ensure energy availability across the nation at affordable cost. Looking ahead, we have set ourselves the goal of increasing our share of the national energy basket from 9% today to 12.5% by 2050. This is aligned with expected doubling of India's overall energy demand by mid-century. To achieve this, we are pursuing a balanced portfolio approach, continuing to strengthen our conventional fuel business while making decisive moves into cleaner and more sustainable energy pathways. Our three major refinery expansion projects are progressing well and are on track for mechanical completion by 2026. With these expansions, our group refining capacity will increase from 80.8 million metric tons per annum to 98 million metric tons per annum, providing a critical boost to our ability to meet growing national demand and support India's vision of energy self-reliance. In parallel, we are investing in pipeline and marketing infrastructure to further fortify our supply and distribution network, ensuring that energy reaches every corner of the country efficiently. We are simultaneously scaling up our petrochemical capacity. As this remains a high potential growth area, given India's low per capita consumption and significant import dependence, our objective is to raise petrochemical integration from the present 6% to 15% with a focus on niche and special chemical products. On the clean energy front, we are scaling up investments in electric mobility infrastructure, including EV charging and battery swapping stations, alongside projects in natural gas, compressed biogas, biofuels and green hydrogen, including hydrogen mobility solutions. Thus, we anticipate a gradual tapering of spends on conventional assets, with a growing share of our capex being directed towards petrochemicals and alternate energy segments, areas where we are making high conviction strategic investments for the future. We have begun the new fiscal year with a strong strategic thrust through the launch of Project Sprint, which is our transformational roadmap to not only sustain but also accelerate our leadership in the energy sector. Sprint represents the confluence of 6 strategic pillars: strengthening the core business, cost leadership, customer centricity, cutting-edge technology and innovation, development of the next generation of leadership, and readiness for the energy transition. The idea is to move decisively beyond business as usual and position Indian Oil to reach greater heights while reinforcing our core strengths. Now let me briefly touch upon the quarterly performance highlights. Talking about a few numbers here, the average price of crude Indian basket during this quarter witnessed a reduction of about 12.4% from the immediately preceding quarter, that is Q4 of financial year 25. Various geopolitical factors, starting from OPEC plus production adjustments, imposition of tariffs by the US government, have contributed in cooling the crude oil prices. With respect to the crack spreads, during Q1 of FY 25-26, both MS and HSD cracks have improved in comparison to the previous quarter. In petrochemical space, the spreads of key products registered a marginal improvement during the quarter, though they continue to remain at subdued levels. At a weak global economic outlook coupled with the addition of new capacities continue to exert pressure on petrochemical prices worldwide. Now let me briefly touch upon the major verticals, the refineries. I believe you all would have gone through the operational performance highlights updated on our website. the reported GRM of $2.5 per barrel during this quarter is lower than the previous quarter, mainly due to inventory losses. However, the normalized GRM for the quarter at $6.91 per barrel is better than the previous quarter of $5.39 per barrel. The increase in GRM is attributable to the higher product crack spread during the quarter. Pipelines. The capacity utilization was about 74% during this quarter as compared to 73% in the previous quarter. Pipeline throughput during the quarter is 26.3 million metric ton vis-a-vis 25.8 million metric ton during the previous quarter. Marketing. During the quarter, Indian Oil achieved highest ever total quarterly sale of 26.328 million metric ton. During the quarter, 445 retail outlets were commissioned, taking the total number of ROs to 40,666. During financial year 25-26, we plan to set up more than 4,000 retail outlets. Petrochemicals. The sale of petrochemical products, including exports, during this quarter was 0.83 million metric tons, similar to the preceding quarter, amounting to 0.83 million metric ton. 0.83 million metric ton. Yes. During the quarter, we registered natural gas sales of 1644 TMT, that is 1,000 metric ton, and CGD sales of 41 TMT as compared to natural gas sales of 1787 TMT and CGD sales of 34 TMT during the preceding quarter, that is Q4 of financial year 24-25. We have entered into a long-term sale and purchase agreement with ADNOC for supply of 1 million metric ton per annum of LNG over a 15-year period starting from 28-29. Indian Oil and Trafigura Private Limited signed a confirmation memorandum for the supply of approximately 0.4 million metric ton per annum LNG from July 25 to December 2029 under Indian Oil's first Henry Hub linked mid-term contract, with the first LNG cargo delivered on 20th August 25 at Dahej. These are major steps towards enhancing India's energy security and reducing exposure to the volatility of spot LNG markets. Alternate energy. We have marked several technological and operational milestones this quarter. We have recently signed a landmark contract and hydrogen purchase agreement with L&T Green Energy Technology Limited for the establishment of a 10 KTPA green hydrogen generation unit at our Panipat refinery. The expected completion time of the project is around 2 years. Indian Oil's wholly owned green subsidiary Terra Clean Limited has secured ISTS grid connectivity of 1354 megawatt cumulative capacity across India. Land procurement activity is under progress. Our Panipat refinery has become the first in the country to be certified to produce sustainable aviation fuel by converting used cooking oil into jet-grade fuel, a milestone in India's green aviation efforts and our broader sustainability journey. Capex. During the quarter, the company incurred a total capex of 6,470 crores. Encompassing investment across all verticals. For financial year 25-26, the budgeted capex is 33,494 crore. These investments are aligned with our long-term strategic roadmap and national energy priorities. Borrowings. With respect to the borrowing levels, the borrowing as on 30 June 25 has decreased by about rupees 13,000 crore and is at 1,21,547 crore level as compared to 1,34,466 crore as on 31st March 25. The decrease in the borrowing were mainly on account of year-end excise duty payment. With the current debt to equity ratio of 0.66 as on 30th June 25, Indian Oil is comfortably placed to fund the ongoing capex plans. Let me take a pause here and request Director of Finance for his further remarks.
Thank you, Nitin. As we progress through financial year 25-26, our priorities remain firmly anchored in operational excellence, disciplined capital allocation, and strategic investments that not only reinforce our core strengths, but also position us at the forefront of the evolving energy landscape. I extend my sincere gratitude to our shareholders, employees, partners, and all stakeholders for their unwavering trust and support. With this strong foundation, we are confident in our ability to deliver sustainable value and long-term growth even in the face of a dynamic and challenging external environment. I will end my briefing here. We will now take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question for today comes from Probal Sen with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Sort of numbers. Just wanted to understand how much of Russian crude did you process this quarter and what sort of discounts. Obviously, the other OMCs have already mentioned their own assessment. Just wanted to get your sense of what the numbers look like.
See, as far as 24-25 was concerned, we almost posted 22% Russian crude oil.
Okay.
Which in quarter one, it got increased to 24%.
Okay.
And in the July and this quarter is still going on. And the discounts, as usual, everybody has said the same thing. It is in the range of around $1.5 to the Dubai benchmark.
Got it. And sir, just the other thing again that was, you know, just to corroborate the inventory impact this quarter was because we had actually built up our crude positions, keeping in mind the geopolitical uncertainty. Is there anything else that we should be looking at because of the high inventory loss this quarter?
No, basically, I would say inventory levels are being maintained based on our shutdown schedules and other requirements. So this quarter, whenever you see Indian Oil maintains quite high inventory because of a landlocked refinery. So whenever the crude oil prices come down, we take a impact on our financial statements. So if you see, because this question will be asked by others also, this quarter we had inventory loss of almost 6,500 crores. Whereas if you see the last Q4 last year, we had a gain. So almost of 10,000 crores was lost.
Right. So primarily just to sort of understand it, essentially this was related to our building of position based on our shutdown schedule, not because of any other reason. That's the reason why
we not because of other reason. It is all normal inventory. We have been maintaining our normal inventory in our books of accounts.
Understood. One more question if I can just slip in with respect to the targets, the two targets that they mentioned. Correct me if I got the numbers wrong. One was our goal of increasing share in Indian energy from 9% to 12.5%. And the second was the petchem yield in our overall portfolio, sir, from 6% to 15%. Now, I just wanted to understand the roadmap for getting there, one, and the timeline. I'm sorry if I missed that in the briefing. What are the timelines for achieving these two targets?
See, as far as increasing our energy basket share from 12.5%, it is by 2050. That is a three. That was a major target set by the company. And basically, as you see, apart from our traditional refining and marketing business, we are also venturing big into the petchem sector. We are also venturing into the renewable sector. We are also venturing into our all type of energies, which are CBG, gas, CNG. So all these factors put together, we have an ambitious target of high capex and definitely. Based on the outcome of the additional investments, we hope that we will be at around 12.5% of the total energy basket in the country.
Right. And about the petchem share, sir, again, that's the same target, 6 to 15% is by CY50, or that is an earlier target?
No, that will be somewhere around, I think it was 2030 plus minus 1 or 2 years. So this target should be achieved much before that. Because if you have seen that apart from my existing investment in petchem, we have also announced a big investment of almost $1 billion in the dual feed naphtha cracker at Paradip refinery. So that project is also started.
Got it. So one last housekeeping question. I didn't quite catch the last number shared by in the operational briefing. What is the debt equity ratio that was mentioned right now?
0.6.
And what is the kind of peak debt equity ratio given our higher capex over the next few years? What kind of peak BER are we looking at? Maybe let's say by FY28 or 29?
See, generally we target to remain within 1:1 debt equity ratio.
Okay. So that will be the target.
What we internally keep.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sumit Rora from Smart Sun Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Mr. Rora, sorry to interrupt you there, sir. So you're not audible, sir. May I request you to use your handset, please?
Okay, sure. Hi, sir. Good morning, firstly, and I congratulate you and the entire team at Indian Oil for doing a wonderful job. Sir, I would like to basically, you know, just spend a couple of minutes, you know, to talk to you more on, you know, the investor angle. Sir, you know, firstly, you know, it is very heartening and congratulations to all the three companies in our downstream sector. You know, today Corporate India posted a profit of 4,39,000 crore in the first quarter gone by. And the oil marketing companies have reported a profit of 16,000 crore plus, which is about 4.4% of India's profit, just the three companies. But sir, here as an investor, I come in, you know, the market cap of the oil marketing companies is well under 1% of India. So on a sustainable basis, you guys are doing about, you know, 3% of profit of India, but your market cap is just not improving, you know. If you just recall one thing, you know, in 2017, our market cap was 2 lakh crore when our balance sheet was about 2.5 lakh crore. Today, sir, our market cap is 2 lakh crore, but our asset value has gone well above 5 lakh crore. So, sir, one thing, you know, which clearly market tells us, you know, which we cannot ignore is the matter of fact is that market, you know, does not have clarity in the earnings of the oil companies, which is actually happening. But the confidence element is clearly missing, right? Because otherwise, you know, for 7-year period, you know, the market cap cannot be same when the underlying business is growing so well. And it's not only for you, it's for all the three companies. So, you know, sir, as a management, you know, it is our humble request that, you know, market cap, you know, should be please considered, you know, in the evaluation because it is an integral part of every stakeholder, maybe an investor, maybe it be a shareholder, maybe it be, you know, even the government because the government is a principal owner because ultimately market cap is all what matters, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you evaluate, you know, how much return has a company given. Sir, just on the question on the LPG point of view, so, you know, this press release that stated that this was for FY25. So, is my understanding correct that the entire money would be accounted for in Q2, in spite of it being paid in tranches, this money would be accounted for in Q2? Your clarity on that, sir, would, you know, go a long way in addressing many things, sir. Thank you.
I will address the second question first. As far as the breakup of 30,000 crore is concerned, we are awaiting the final modalities to be received from MOPNG and as per the Union Cabinet has already given 30,000 crore. But how it will be shared and how much it will be given for which period, we are awaiting the final details from the MOPNG. So based on the communication from the ministry, we will be able to share further details with our investors. But I'm happy to state that, you know, there was a lot of concern in the past whether the oil companies will be getting this compensation or not. But again, back to back, government has supported to the oil marketing companies on this front. Initially, if you remember, out of 28,000 crores, we got 22,000 crores. And now out of 41,000, we got 30,000. So I think this is a very good sign for the continued support to the oil marketing companies. And coming to the first part where you said that market cap, see, for the past 3 years, you have seen such a huge geopolitical factors affecting the oil marketing companies. So I think that this is also one of the factors which is affecting the companies, you know how the investors see these oil marketing companies. But definitely on the operational fronts, I can definitely talk about Indian Oil that our operational parameters have been beyond our targets, and we have rapidly ramp up of all our operational fronts and the projects. Another one thing I would share is a lot of projects got, we started the project during COVID times. And now the projects are almost going to be completed. So this is a time we are spending a lot of money, but the income has not started coming in our P&L. So in the next 1 year, you will see all the projects getting commissioned and the income start coming in our books of accounts. So that should give a big comfort to our investors.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you for that, sir. But just one thing, if I may add, sir, you know, the matter of fact that our cash flows are, you know, getting stronger as we go ahead, I would request, you know, that you should, consider a buyback, you know, because that will be very, effective in boosting, our EPS, our financial matrix. And also it will be a sign of strength, signifying that, the way we are looking at our things. So I would say, I would request, sir, a buyback should definitely be considered, sir.
Okay, point noted, please, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Achal Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, just wanted to understand about the aviation business. So currently, what is our market share, margin structures, and what are the volumes we are doing? Can you share some light on that? Broad numbers would help.
As far as market share is concerned, our market share is between 55% to 60%. It keeps on varying, it varies from 55% to 60%.
Okay, sir. Sir, about the margins, like how much are we making on EBITDA level or on a per liter basis?
See, don't see margin on. See, we have an integrated margin. That is why we come with the gross refining margin figures in our financial statement. But as such, if you see the international market, the refining, the GRM on the aviation front is quite robust. And the kind of growth aviation business is seeing year on year, we are very bullish on the aviation business in our company. Okay.
Sir, so like, is there any discounting to maintain the market share? Because crack spreads have been positive, but any idea on that front?
See, yes, in any of the product which is competitive, discounts are part of the game, and it keeps on based on the market dynamic. We fine tune our strategy, but as such, what I am saying, there's so much growth in the aviation sector that all the companies who are in the aviation business will have a very robust growth going forward. And our company is very, very focused on the aviation business. This is one business which is going to see the maximum growth in the country. We have a refining expansion coming. There also we are focusing on ATF production maximization also.
Got it. Sir, just one more question on the throughput outlet. So, sir, what is our throughput per outlet for like FY25 or for 1Q FY26, and what are the steps we are taking to increase that, since BPC is leading on a throughput per outlet basis? So to increase the throughput, what are some steps we are taking?
See, my pulse of throughput is around 130
KL per month.
130, 130.
Okay. Is this the KL per month?
KL per month, yes.
Okay.
And see, we are taking a lot of strategies as Nitin also shared with you. Project Sprint we have started, where we have one of the three targets is one, increase the PPT. How it will be done is, first we are targeting the nil selling retail outlets. Number two, we also seeing the low selling retail outlets, how we can, work with our channel partners to increase the sales of our retail outlets. And number three, we are also trying to commission new retail outlets in the segments which are having a traditionally high per pump throughput. As you understand, if you compare with BPC or other oil marketing companies, Indian Oil has been going to the areas where generally the throughputs are not high in the northeast, in the remote area. So that is the strength of the company also, that we are present in all the markets in a good strength. So it may affect my PPT, but it gives me leverage to and cash. Whenever any expansions are required, any new products are to be introduced, any new expansions are there, we are also targeting few other expansion in. We have already a joint venture company in fertilizer sector. So I think we see all these things in a holistic basis, where we will be able to encash even those retail outlets where who doesn't give me higher PPT today.
Sir, so would we be thinking of discounting?
Pardon?
Would we give additional discounts versus the other PSU OMC?
All the three oil marketing companies generally maintain the same pricing strategy in the market. So,
understood, sir.
So that way all the three marketing companies are aligned to each other.
So just one last question. What was LPG under recovery per cylinder in 1QFY26 and in August or currently what is the per cylinder loss under recovery?
See, if you see the LPG under recovery in in Q1 financial year 25-26, it was around in the range of 160 rupees to 165 per cylinder. And today it is in the range of 100 rupees to 105 rupees per cylinder as on date.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your response.
Thank you.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from S. Ramesh with Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you very much. Can you share the breakup of the inventory loss you mentioned between refining and marketing?
See we normally, I can give you indicative figures. It is around 50% what would be my loss in the food and the product side.
And the total inventory loss is 6,500 crores. Did I hear it correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So if you look at your gas business, the revenue YOY, if you look at last year first quarter and this year first quarter is more or less same. At 10,000 crores, but the profits have crashed from 654 to 50 crores. So what is happening there? Is there a loss in your LNG business? We know that the CGD business is not that big, so you may have had some challenges there, but what is happening on the LNG business? And going forward, how do you see the gas business perform, both in the standalone CGDs and your LNG business?
See, as far as gas business is concerned, that is one of the most profitable business for Indian Oil. The margins, the internationally the prices have been high of LNG in the past one quarter. So definitely it affected our profitability.
Okay, so what is the way forward? How do you see the gas segment move from here in terms of the growth in your CGD business, in terms of the capex and CGD and the number of CNG stations there?
See, if you segregate my gas segment, one is the LNG, one is the CNG. That continues to be a reasonably stable business for me. Number two is my LNG business for the industrial use. There the margins have come down because of the high pricing in the international market. And the third segment, CGD segment, it is definitely becoming stronger day by day. But as on date, it doesn't give you a huge either profit or magnitude to my gas business.
Okay, so can you share what is the kind of capex you're going to do in the standalone CGDs and what is the kind of growth and volumes you expect from the volumes you have shared for the first quarter, say, over the next 2 years?
Yeah, let me give me 1 minute. See, as far as I am concerned, we have a target of spending almost 22,000 crore in my total capex which I am envisaging in my CGD segment. Already I have spent almost 4,000 to 5,000 crore as on date. And we aim to spend almost 1,000 crore each year in the CGD segment. We want to monetize our investments in the times to come. And definitely we will spend the money as the GA, we assume that the GA starts giving the money to me. But my predominant focus is my LNG segment to the industrial use and also CNG business.
Okay, so going back to LNG and your petrochemical business, so LNG, you have that NO terminal, you're planning to expand that. So how do you see the LNG economics going forward? What is the kind of break-even you need? Because there's a lot of competition from the new terminals at Dhamra, and Petronet LNG is talking about something in Gopalpur. So in terms of your current cash flows from the NO terminal, if you can shed some light in terms of what is the profit or loss you're making, and how do you see that changing with based on your expansion plan to 5 to 10 million tons?
See, if I see my existing ethanol terminal capacity utilization in 23-24, it was around 18%, which went up to which became 25% in 24-25, and this year I'm expecting it to again go up to 31-32%. And by next year, it should be quite high because the way the infrastructure is getting generated, created along with the ethanol terminal, definitely the demand from the ethanol terminal will go high.
Okay. So, last thought on petrochemicals. So, we all know that the margins are under pressure globally. We have an integration plan in terms of increasing the share of petrochemicals. So, in terms of your competitive advantage, if you leave aside this, narrative about the domestic market being import dependent, what is the kind of cost leadership you'll enjoy based on your integrated capacities? Would you be there in the top 10% or 25% in terms of cost leadership? And would that be a competitive advantage to kind of, ramp up the petrochemical business and cash flows, assuming that, the excess capacity may not, get mitigated because China keeps adding capacity? So that's a clear overhang. So given that context, how do you see you remaining competitive once your expansion plans are completed?
See, as you all understand that petrochemical, there is huge demand in the country. I think there is no doubt. Number two, we also know that this petrochemical is a natural integration for the Indian oil. We use our own naphtha and other products for the petrochemical. Otherwise, we have to export those things. So instead of exporting, if you see an integrated margin, it makes much more logical for me to have a petrochemical expansion. With a lot of refining expansions coming, definitely I would be having a raw material to feed my future petrochemical expansion. So as far as the margin, yes, today we are in the down cycle of the refining margin, petrochemical margin. But if you see, petrochemical margin is generally always positive, a bit of positive for me. And if you see the general cycle, by the time my major petchem expansions will come on board, we expect the cycle of petchem to come back. Major, all the companies are knowing that it's a cyclical industry, and whenever it becomes a positive cycle comes, and we will be happy to then get returns from our huge investment.
Okay, so last time you had mentioned that your three refinery expansions are getting started by FY27. So if you see the expansion in capacity and the increase in yield, what would be the delta in refining margins you can expect from these three refinery expansions from
FY27? See, if you see the delta margins, it will be very difficult to predict because it will, see, today the refining margins are so good. See, it all depends on the international market. But definitely whatever returns, whatever is my cost of capital, what is my, I am definitely going to earn beyond that. So it will give me a positive margins on my investments. How much it will be given, it will be depending upon the international market. But if you see the today margins, it is quite robust. The margins...
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, sir. Thank you very much. I'll join the queue. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Hardik Solanki with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question already got answered. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Amit Murarka with Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Actually, I joined the call a bit late, so sorry if I'm repeating this question, but could you provide the marketing inventory losses in the quarter?
My total, as I've shared, that during Q1 25-26, I got a hit of 6,500 crores due to inventory losses. And if you see the quarter one of the previous year, it was a gain. So the delta is almost 10,000 crores.
Last Q1 was 3,500 gain, you said?
Yes.
Sure. And also on the refinery projects. So what I understand is that Barwadi comes next year, fiscal year, sometime Q2, and Koyali and the other refinery comes by end of this fiscal year. So is that the current timeline as well, or there is further change to that?
See, as of now, our Panipat and Gujarat are scheduled to be commissioned in end of this year or first quarter of this calendar year. And then the Brownies, yes, you are right, is coming around August 26th. So the expansions will come in phases. So the accordingly, our project will get scaled up.
And what is the CAPEX guidance for this year now?
See, we have already targeted to spend 34,000 crores during the financial year 25-26. And out of that, refinery will almost take 14,000 to 15,000 crores. And petrochemicals, marketing, pipeline, CGD, all put together will be another 15,000 to 16,000 crores.
Understood. Just lastly, on Russian crude discounts, that has also come down. So could you just comment a bit on the discounts you kind of you could book in Q1 and what's the outlook for the same in Q2 and ahead? And also on the crude sourcing, has that been stopped now in the wake of the current situation with U.S.?
See, I shared these numbers before also, that last year, 24-25, we almost got 22% of the Russian crude. And during the quarter 1 or 25-26, it is almost 24%. And this quarter, we are continuing to buy the Russian crude depending upon the economics.
And the discount would be how much right now?
It is around $1.5.
Okay.
1.52, yeah.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Somaya with Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So, first question is on the refinery expansion. So, 18 million ton expansion. So, next year, roughly what kind of incremental throughput that we are looking at, taking the ramp up into consideration? That's the first part. Second, in terms of product slate, what is the petchem intensity of the business coming online? Diesel and petrol, if you could give some color in terms of our existing product mix versus the new refinery.
I will go one by one. First of all, Brownie. See, it is scheduled to be commissioned in August 26th. And generally, as per the past experience, it generally takes 24 months for 100% capacity utilization. So that is the scale, that is for Brownie. For both Panipat and Gujarat, they are expected to be commissioned by the end of this year. And again, both the units, Gujarat and Panipat, will take around 24 months post-commissioning for achieving 100% additional throughput what we are targeting. I will not be able to give the exact numbers, but yes, Panipat expansion is for 10 MMTPA. Gujarat is for 4.3 MMTPA and Brownie is for additional 3 MMTPA. So the total almost 17.3 MMTPA will get added in these three refineries. As far as the rate is concerned, definitely we are always, SSG is a major component, and as I shared earlier, MS and ATS, these are for our, we try to maximize these three products. All put together, MS, HSD and ATF should give me around 70%.
Got it, sir. Sir, also on the CapEx run rate, now that the refinery expansions are nearing completion, so how should we think about next couple of years, whether this 33,000-34,000 crores of run rate would be there or can it come off? And also in marketing, you did mention that 4,000 outlets. How do we see intensity of outlet additions next couple of years? Can it come off?
See, actually, you are correct that most of my refining expansions will be over in by financial year 26-27. Okay, so then, but already I have announced $1 billion petrochemical project in Paradip. So that will start, I will start spending money on that capex. But yes, I would share one thing that we don't have any specific targets to do any capex, but most of the, we want to, remain the major energy player in this country. So apart from the refining and petrochemicals, we are also targeting additional investments into renewable sector now. We are targeting 30 gigawatt renewable energy target by 2030. So that for that we have a 100% subsidiary company also now. Apart from that, we are also investing huge money into gas sector. So all put together, my capex may not be 40,000, but yes, it should be around 30,000 crores in coming times, so next 4 to 5 years.
Got it, sir. Just the point on marketing retail outlets. So this run rate of 4,000 should be expected to kind of come off in the next few years, or the same intensity will kind of
come? No, it will come down, definitely. Definitely it will come down in the coming years.
Got it.
And it will be based on the market demand also. See, it's a highly competitive industry. We will have to see how the market performs. So definitely, we don't have any, I cannot give any specific numbers, but yes, based on the market dynamics, we expect the number to slightly come down in time to come.
Got it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from N.M. Modi, who is an investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Modi, your line has been unmuted. Hello. As there is no response, we move to the next participant. Next question comes from Achal Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking the follow-up. Just let me know, sir, the current ethanol blending percentage and what is your take on the current situation about the negativity on the blending for the car warranties and whatever is going for.
See, we achieved the 99.99, almost 20% target in 25-26 now. So, we are fully geared to achieve these targets.
1 year. Yeah. And sir, like, is there any mandate or norm to increase this target? Like, what's your take on that? Like, currently I think it's 20%, so where do you think it can go in the next few years?
See, we have, the mandate was 20% and we achieved a target of 20%. As of now, this is the target what we have been given and we are going to achieve that.
So just one more question on the retail outlet expansion plan. Can you give a sense of how many outlets would we reach by FY26 and FY27 end?
See, we aim to commission almost 40. We will be touching 48,000 retail outlets by the end of 26-27.
F27.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Navneet Tyagi from Urbanac Ingitech. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Very good morning, sir.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah, my question is that Parliament Question 2759-2018 के अनुसार 8,999 pump आपके litigation में थे कि आपने अपनी balance sheet में इसको declare किया है?
ये मुझे चेक करना पड़ेगा, मैं भी इस वक्त डेटा मेरे पास रेडी भी अवेलेबल
नहीं, नहीं, नहीं सर 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 इट्स अ वेरी वेरी सीरियस क्वेश्चन। नंबर टू क्वेश्चन है कि करंट में आपके कितने लिटिगेशन में फॉर्म चल रहे हैं सर?
ये लीगल
का रैंक और कंपनसेशन कौन देगा?
ये डेटा मेरे पास
नहीं है। क्या ये इन्वेस्टर के साथ में फ्रॉड नहीं है? मेरा क्वेश्चन है कि क्या इन्वेस्टर के साथ में ये फ्रॉड नहीं है?
साहब ये जो आपने डेटा मांगा है मैं आपको सिक्योरिटी प्रोवाइड करा दूंगा जो हमारे जो
नहीं, मेरा सिंपल क्वेश्चन है सर, आप आज एजीएम कर रहे हैं, आप ये बताइए कि क्या ये इन्वेस्टर के साथ में फ्रॉड है या नहीं है, दैट्स इट।
सब हम टोटली नेशनल ऑयल कंपनी है, हम पूरी गाइडलाइंस की
नहीं, नेशनल ऑयल कंपनीज है तो आपने ये डेटा इन्वेस्टर के साथ में क्यों शेयर नहीं किया?
साहब ये डेटा अभी मेरे पास नहीं है, मैं कोऑर्डिनेटर को
शेयर करेंगे आप इस डेटा को। क्या ये 447 कंपनी एक्ट में ये वायलेशन है या नहीं है सर? ये कब आप डेटा शेयर करेंगे? कब आप लोगों को बेवकूफ बनाना बंद करेंगे?
सर ये डेटा जो है आपको प्रोवाइड करा दिया जाएगा, थैंक यू वेरी मच।
मेरे को नहीं सिर्फ ये पूरी और
सॉरी टू इंटरप्ट यू सर, मे वी रिक्वेस्ट दैट वी द मैनेजमेंट विल गेट इन टच विद यू, थैंक यू सर। द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन कम्स फ्रॉम एस रमेश फ्रॉम निर्मल बांग इक्विटीज, प्लीज गो अहेड।
थैंक यू फॉर द फॉलो अप। सो यू लुक एट योर अदर सेगमेंट, so there is a difference in terms of the losses being lower in the consolidated entity compared to the standalone, but on YOY basis there is a swing from profits to loss. So if you can put the other business in context, and you have mentioned something in the annual report about cryogenics and explosives, so is there any potential for this performance to improve to profitable operations? And in terms of ROC, would you be able to get double digit ROC in the other activities?
See, our, if you see my other business activities, as per my standalone accounts, this quarter, my profit before tax and interest is 374 negative, which was, this was negative of 216 crores in quarter 4, 24-25. So this has increased. So basically, this is on account of other segment like E&P. We have other segment also. And we have also done a write-off of one of our E&P investment of 340 crores this quarter. So that was one-time activity which has resulted into a negative figure this time. If you see, last year it was positive 24.34. If you compare these two figures, this is a one-time write-off in our books of accounts. That has resulted into a negative of 374.46 crores in the Q1 25-26.
So do you see this segment getting into profitable operations on a full year basis? And you mentioned some plans for cryogenics and explosives in your annual report. So other explosive companies are actually doing fairly well. So do you see your explosive business also kind of getting into the growth trajectory? What are your plans in the other activities including ENP, cryogenics and explosives?
See, if I see my other business segments, see, definitely my cryogenic business, my explosive business are a positive contributors in my P&L. Okay. So, but other segments like ENP, depending upon the dynamics, crude oil dynamics, it becomes profitable or loss. But definitely, the way we are adding our new renewable business, solar and wind, after 1 or 2 years, you will see huge, revenues coming from that segment as well. But that investments are coming through my subsidiary and JV companies, so it will be coming through that segment in my books of accounts.
Okay, so you might squeeze in a last thought on green hydrogen and the sustainable aviation fuel. Can you give us some visibility on the commercial aspect in terms of what will be the pricing and ROC, say like for the sustainable aviation fuel, for the investments, how would you, get the margins or return on capital? Similarly, for green hydrogen, would you depend on government subsidy or what would be the kind of economics for that investment?
See, Indian Oil became the first company to set up such a large 10 KTPA project at Panipat. And this is a captive usage. That means whatever hydrogen is produced, it will be used by my own refineries. This is one of the very good and I think good investment by Indian Oil, and that will kickstart our future ambitious plan in the hydrogen sector. As far as SAF is concerned, that is also, you know, this is a very upcoming sector. Whatever investments we will do, we are, as per the TRAT reports, we should be able to get returns on SAF investments also. So as far as SAF is concerned, it will be a profitable business for us. And as far as green hydrogen is concerned, as of now it is for my captive use. Based on this experience, my other commercial activities will start in future.
So the cost of green hydrogen will be what, in the $3.5 to $4 per kg?
Yes, you are correct. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
What will be the capex for your Paradeep refinery where you are putting this petrochemical complex, and when it will start and when will it be commissioned?
See, as of the total investment is in the rupee terms, if you talk about, is almost 60,000 crores. And the project is under the stage one as of now. The various licensors have been appointed. So it will take almost 54 months from the investment approval.
Okay. And so one small suggestion, sir. If you can put all your expansions refinery-wise or petrochemical, oil marketing companies are doing stage-wise, it will be better.
Okay, that I will be happy to provide. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Stockbroking Limited for closing comments.
Before, I would like to hand the call to the management for their closing remarks, after which I will.
Yeah. Thank you all for your time and insightful questions. On behalf of IOCL team, thank you once again for your continued trust and support. We look forward to engaging with you in our future interactions and keeping you updated on our progress. Thank you. Stay safe and take care. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I wish to thank on behalf of Antique Stockbroking all the participants as well as the management for answering all the questions and taking time out to attend this call. Thanks, everyone, and have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stockbroking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.